Joining us now is former Wolves player, former Wolves coach, former NBA coach of the year. Now does great work for NBA TV. It is Sam Mitchell. Hello, Sam.
What's up, Doogie?
How you doing? Let's start with this. Manny Hill is producing and sidekicking and technically directing. We somehow brought it up at the beginning of the show about 90 minutes ago. It was 20 years ago, just a couple days ago, January 17th, 2000. Do you remember that game? Wolves Pacers, you were in the starting lineup. It was the Malik Sealy game.
Oh, when Malik hit the, banked it off the, he banked it in, didn't he?
He did, and you guys
from the top.
Yeah, and you guys won at the buzzer. That was 20 years ago, January 17th.
Jalen Rose went for the steal, right, and missed it.
I don't remember every vivid detail. You're challenging my memory, Sam.
Well, I took the inbound pass out, so I remember now that you brought it up quickly. Yeah, I took the ball out. Jalen Rose went for the steal. Malik got it and turned his shot. I think that was his first game-winning shot of his career.
Yeah, I mean, you guys just mobbed him. I mean, it was pandemonium. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, I mean, sadly, you know, his life ended shortly thereafter. Sadly, the Wolves as a franchise haven't had a lot of high moments. So when you rank great moments in Wolves history, January 17th, 2000 is somewhere probably in the top five.
Well, it is, man. And then what made it special is the type of human being Malik was. And like you said, shortly after that, we lost him. And it was just, you know, you remember those things, man, for all the good things. But sometimes the good memories bring back sad memories.
They do. You're right. Yeah, I mean, his life was just, it was cut far too short. The accident on Highway 100 shortly thereafter. All right, let's analyze this year's Wolves team, Sam. Six consecutive losses, 15-28, one of the worst teams in the league. I guess as you're watching the Wolves, maybe you're not watching the Wolves very often, but when you do catch the Wolves, I guess what stands out to you?
Well, dude, you know, I don't focus in on them because when I do my NBA TV stuff, you know, we're watching all the games. But, man, when I watch them play, it's just, you see talent, but you just see something missing. You see that cohesiveness. You see them playing together. You see them playing as one. All the things that winning teams do, you see them lacking. And for what reason, man? I mean, they started off the season, what, 10-8? Something like that, get off to a good
start.
Yeah,
7-4, 10-8. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I give them credit. They feasted on the weaker teams in the East, mm-hmm. like they should do. And then they just, I don't know, man. It seemed like they lost their confidence and they lost their way and they just can't find, seem to get it back on track. And, Duke, you know the NBA, man. It is unmerciful. Once you lose your confidence and you're down, no one's going to throw you a lifeline. You got to try to dig your way out of it. And right now, what I see with this team, I don't see leadership. You know, I don't see who's that guy on the team, not just going to go say, let me get 25, but just going to pull the group together and remind them all the little things they need to start doing.
I mean, Cat should be that guy. And you know Karl-Anthony Towns incredibly well, Sam. Now, he missed, what, 14, 15 games. He's only been back for a few games, so he's still getting his legs underneath him and all that. But I guess, you know, big picture, can you win at a high level if Karl-Anthony Towns is your alpha, is your main guy?
Yeah, Duke, I don't understand. I'm trying to figure out, look, man, I watch the league, and look, not to say that defense is not important, but for the past 3 years, up until this year, what did we talk about LeBron James? He didn't play defense, right?
Yeah, although, yeah. That was overstated, though.
All I keep hearing is defense and defense and defense. And, man, you got a guy that can get you 25 and 15 and do it efficiently. Your job as the coach and your job as the organization is to put pieces around him that fit. It's not about individual defense no more. It's about team defense.
I agree on that.
The Clippers, but hold up now. The Clippers got three guys that can arguably be first-team all-defense, right? And people are hanging 130 on them. So stop telling me that it's about the individual D. Because if that was the case, the Clippers would be leading the league to have the best defense in the league, and Doc Rivers would stop screaming every night about their lack of defense, right?
You're right, yeah, and you're right. Okay, I mean, Beverly, so, Leonard George, you're right. I mean, those are three really good defenders.
Yeah, so all three of those guys will be on either first, second, or third team all defense this year. Am I right?
Yes, I would agree with that, yes.
Okay, so why are they giving up 130 points these last 8-9 games? The bad team.
I mean, Is there something to be said about the dog days of the season that they're really thinking about April, May, and June, not necessarily January?
Look, all of those things come into play, but my point is this. It's about balancing out your team. It's about getting your ancillary players to buy into their roles. Look, Doc Rivers can't get the Los Angeles Clippers to play better defense, and they got three guys that are going to be on the all-defensive team. So, to me, when you got a guy like Karl Anthony Towns who can get you 25 and 15 efficiently, you got to figure out, look, whatever you trade Karl for, you're not getting it. You're not getting equal value.
Oh, no, no,
as long as you understand. It's going to be a lopsided trade. So, to me, I got this asset. I got this guy that can put the ball in the basket. Now, what I need to do is figure out the right pieces to build around it.
Sam, it's Manny again here with you. What about Andrew Wiggins? And you saw Andrew his first couple of years of his career, and he got off to a really nice start this season, especially when Karl had to miss a couple of games and Andrew was in there and part of that 10-8 start. Andrew was playing really, really well.
Yes, he was.
But the last couple of weeks, he's sort of fallen off a little bit, and you've obviously seen him firsthand, coaching him the first 2 years of his career. What do you ultimately see in him, and where can he go? Can he still get to that star level that so many people saw in him when he first got into the league?
Man, I don't see why not, man. Look, obviously, at the end of the day, I care for Andrew. Look, anytime you draft young players like Flip did, and you're around them at 19 years old, and you go eat burgers with them on the road because they're not old enough to go in a restaurant that serves alcohol, and spend all this time with them, pushing them and trying to help them develop and get to reach their goals, and now I see a kid like Andrew struggling a little bit. Look, I can't quite put my finger on it, Manny, because I'm not there on a day-to-day basis. All I can say is Andrew Wiggins has all-star talent. You guys have seen it. Mr. Taylor didn't give Andrew Wiggins $25 million a year because he can't play, and he can't play at that level. For whatever reason, he just haven't done it on a consistent level. He's done it in spurts, and he's done it for long periods of time, but unless you're there on a day-to-day basis, it would just be unprofessional of me to try to comment on. All I can say is that I'm an Andrew Wiggins fan. I've seen this young man come into the coach's office and ask to guard James Harden, ask to guard LeBron James, ask to guard Paul George, and do a pretty good job. I also watched Andrew Wiggins, 2-3 years ago. I always felt like the reason he had a problem with Jimmy Butler is because if you go back before the year Jimmy Butler came, Andrew Wiggins outplayed Jimmy Butler and both times we played him, and we won the game. So I can't put my finger on it, Doogie guy. I just can't. But the talent's there, man. I for whatever reason, it's just having and at some point, you got to say, Bill Parcells used to say, you are what you are now. And for all of us who love Andrew and want the best for him, at some point he's got to look in the mirror and realize the numbers that he's putting up and the way and manner in which he's doing it, that's going to define who he is.
I mean, you've always said that he should be a two guard, right? I mean, is there in this day and age that much of a difference between the two and the three?
It's not really, but where it matters at Duke is matchups on the defensive end. You know what I mean? So think of it from this point of view. Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are both tough guys to guard. But would you rather chase a guy like Klay that if you could just keep him from coming off those screens and get clean looks? But what do you do against a guy like Durant that can just catch the ball, square you up, put you in triple threat, and just work you over? So that's the difference right there. And then on the offensive end, most two guards are not 6'8" with Andrew Wiggins' athleticism and wingspan. So he has an advantage on the offensive end.
Do you ever, Sam, think about where this team could be if they don't make the move for Jimmy Butler? If Zach LaVine is still here today, they would have taken Lauri Markkanen. So if they had the core of LaVine, Markkanen, Cat, and Wiggins?
Yeah, I do. Think about it. If you look at, and this is the thing, people might try to say, well, they all would not have developed. No, they all had developed. Andrew Wiggins had developed. Karl-Anthony Towns had developed. Zach LaVine had developed, because those three guys had figured out that, one, they cared about each other. Two, they actually liked each other and wanted to, those three guys to be successful among the team. And I actually believe it would have worked. And it would have been the best collection of young talent since OKC had, with Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, Ibaka, and Jeff Green, those guys. In my opinion, that's where that franchise were headed, for the best collection of young talent since OKC. And it's a shame that it never got a chance to see it play out and develop the way Flip and the rest of us who was there at the time when we drafted these guys. And think about it. You're talking about a Lauri Markkanen, but who's to say that we wouldn't have took the kid in Denver right now? Because if I would have been there, and Calvin Booth would have still been there, a lot of talk was going in a different direction than drafting, Jamal Murray was definitely in play if Calvin Booth would have remained with the Timberwolves.
That is interesting.
So the team would have looked significantly different. Think about, instead of Chris Dunn.
Yeah, they took Chris Dunn.
Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
So think about Jamal Murray at the one, Zach LaVine at the two, Wiggins at the three, Markkanen at the four, and Karl Anthony Towns at the five. And guys, that could have been a realistic thing, because there were people, if I remember correctly, in our scouting department where before we were all dismissed and they brought in a different group, there were some people that liked Jamal Murray over Chris Dunn.
No, you're right. I mean, heck, Calipari was telling Tibbs, you take Jamal Murray. Take him.
Yeah.
You know, Tibbs didn't listen. Now, who knows? I mean, maybe if you guys take Jamal, you're not good enough to be in a position to get Markkanen.
Well, maybe not. But in a league where perimeter play is at a premium, think about this. You may not have had Markkanen. But would it have been hard to find two guards that could score in the backcourt?
No.
Jamal Murray and Zach LaVine?
No, you're making me sad, Sam.
Yeah.
You guys would have had, you would have. If Calvin Booth was in charge, you guys were taking Jamal Murray.
Jeez. Yeah, and Dugan. Oh. And the reason Calvin Booth wanted that, and this is how he explained it to me. Nothing against Chris Dunn, but he said, when you look at the age difference, 2 to 3 years younger.
Yep.
So when you lay out the age difference and all those things and that trajectory and guys getting better, Jamal Murray would have made more sense. He just would have.
Are you surprised that they bypassed Calvin to hire Gersan Rosas?
Yeah, I am, man. I just thought Mr. Taylor would have looked in house to some guys that he had been familiar with, that he saw on a day to day basis. And again, I'm not in that room. Hell, if I was, I probably would still be there. But I'm not in that room, man. And all I can say is, look at the talent that the Denver Nuggets have amassed. Think about that. They have the deepest pool of talent in the NBA. And think about this. Their hardest problem is trying to figure out how to get Michael Porter Jr. on the floor.
He looked good last night.
Deep in talent. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good against the Wolves last night.
Yeah, and so those are the type of things. And look, I know you can't go back and change things. We always say that. But at some point, you got to start looking at the opportunities that you had, and that you got to stop making those same mistakes. Because all those things, Flip had put that organization in line to just, again, you look at it, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Karl Anthony Towns, maybe a Jamal Murray. Who knows where the Wolves will be right now?
So, Sam, is the next goal for this team to find that second star to play with Cat? I mean, if Andrew kind of is who he is as a player right now, should that be the next goal for the Wolves, to just find that next star? We've been hearing ever since the offseason last summer, we've been hearing about D'Angelo Russell and all those conversations and all those rumors. Is that the next goal, to find that second star to pair with Cat?
Guys, if it was me, I would set my sights on what the Toronto Raptors have done. I would set my eyes on developing my guys. I would tighten up my draft, first and second round, and my free agent signings. I would get my G League, make sure my G League team is tight and producing young, talented players. Okay, but my point is this. The Toronto Raptors right now they're healthy. I'm not so sure that they can't repeat and defend their title. If you watch them play.
Sam, okay, no. They're good, but they're not winning the East.
I'm going to bet you at the end of the year, the Toronto Raptors are the second seed.
Where are they at right now? Let me look.
They can't.
All right, I'll make the bet. Without even looking, I'll make that bet.
Therefore, they can't catch Milwaukee. But understand something now. Look at the lineup that they've been playing around with lately. Marcus Gasol, Ibaka, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Kyle Lowry. They've been playing around with that lineup. That's a huge lineup, Doogie.
Yeah, I mean, they're third, 29-14. Yeah,
they're a game behind Miami for third in the East, Sam.
They're healthy now for the first time all year. Now, think about something. They got the recipe. I was in Toronto when they beat Milwaukee, when they basically swept Milwaukee four games in a row. So don't ever underestimate the fact that that is planted in Milwaukee mentality right now. They got beat four games in a row by the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. Don't discount that, Doogie.
No, you might be right. Now, with the Wolves, I will give the front office credit. I mean, I think Jalen Noel, who's doing a lot of good in the G League, their second-round pick, has a chance. They signed the former LSU big man. Is it Naz or Naz? I don't know how he pronounces his first name. Naz Reid, you know, as an undrafted free agent. I mean, he looks like he has some sort of future in the league. And Jarrett Culver's been good. I mean, heck, I need to apologize to Jarrett Culver, Sam. I didn't see it November, December, but the last 3 weeks, Jarrett Culver has been really good.
But, Duke, I coached against Jarrett when he was at Texas Tech and I was at Memphis. I could have told you this kid was going to be a good player. Duke, look. When have we gotten to where if kids don't walk in the door at 19 years old and average 30 a game, they can't play? They're considered bust. You know, it does take some kids a year or two to adjust to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You do realize, people do realize, these are kids playing against adults now.
You're right.
So for some of these young men, it takes a minute.
No, and I'm guilty. I mean, guilty is charged, Sam, where sometimes I expect too much too soon. I'll admit to that.
Now, Duke, it's fair to be critical of Andrew at this stage of his career. He's been in the league long enough to where he should have figured it out. You know what I mean? He has expectations put on him. He's being paid as an all-star caliber player. So the criticism of Andrew Wiggins is fair. Culver, no. He hasn't been in the league long enough to even understand what he's doing. All these kids, you got to give them at least a year and a half before you start critiquing them.
What about your guy? I'm with you. You're absolutely right. What about a guy that's been in the league for many years? A guy that played really well under you, not so much under Tibbs. Now he's back to playing well. Gorgui Dieng. I mean, how happy are you for Gorgui? I mean, when it comes to just the person, I mean, A-plus individual, to see him contributing right now has to put a smile on your face.
But, you know, Doogie, you know, he's one of my favorite people.
I know.
Gorgui's just a good guy, man. Mm-hmm. He's just a good person. You know, he's a true professional. And all those guys, Doogie, that's the thing about me being there in Minnesota and all those guys. I hate the fact that they're struggling right now. I really do. You know, I'm always going to be – Ryan Sanders is like a little brother to me. I'm always going to want nothing but the best. And it breaks my heart, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. All those guys that were there when we were there in the front office, it breaks my heart to see them not winning as well as we would all like to. You know, look, I have a job to do as an NBA analyst on a night-to-night basis to talk about what I see. But I also am a human being that have my own personal feelings. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there are teams that I pull for a little more than others because of relationships. And Minnesota is definitely one of the teams I pull for because of all the personal relationships that I have with the players and people in the front office and the owner. So, for me, I played there. I hate to, you know, see them struggle. But again, I wouldn't throw Carl Anthony Towns out. I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to Carl Anthony Towns. Unless you know you can put a deal together that's going to make you that much better.
Would you take the Lakers and the Clippers or the field to win the Western Conference?
The Lakers or the Clippers or the field?
You can have Los Angeles, so you get both Los Angeles teams or the field.
No, I'm not going to do that, Doogie, because the Houston Rockets right now have forgotten how to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, it's weird.
The Utah Jazz are playing a lot better, but I just, anytime you got to put a guy like Mike Conley on the bench that makes you better, that don't make me feel good. And as far as the rest of the team, they got, but no. No, at the end of the day in the Western Conference, I'm taking the Clippers and the Lakers.
What is going on with James Harden? Did I see that over his last seven games, he has missed 73-pointers?
Dude, I have seen James Harden. Look, he's played so bad in some of the games I've recently seen him play. He doesn't even look like the same player to me. I've never seen James play this uninspired. And the thing about it, Russ has started to finally play well, and now James is going into tank.
It is. I mean, is he hurt? You know, just speculating.
1 for 17 from three last night.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if he's hurt. Like, we're not accustomed to seeing James Harden struggle like this.
No, Doogie, he could be banged up a little bit, man. And Doogie, you know this. Anytime you're going to the free throw line 15, 16 times a night, you're getting hit constantly. So maybe at some point, you know, the pounding is in the minutes played are starting to wear on him a little bit. Because also, remember now, James don't sit out games. Right. He plays every night.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, maybe he needs to sit out. Maybe he needs to do a little load management.
Hey, man, maybe he needs to blow.
Sam, always good to catch up. I'll be in touch.
All right, Doogie. Take it easy on my Wolves, man. Hey, look, there's two halves to a season. They still got time to bounce back and make a run at an eighth spot.
I don't see it, Sam, but maybe next year.
Keep hope alive, Doogie.
All right, I will. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Sam Mitchell. Sam telling me to keep hope alive is, there's, yeah, that's interesting. Sam's great. Manny, I don't, yeah, I love Sam. He's my guy.
Yeah.
I don't see it, though.
It's going to be tough.
And I get it. I mean, Memphis is in the eighth seed right now. There's a couple spots maybe in the Western Conference there for the taking, although the Thunder are playing better. But
sure, a 4 or 5 game winning streak could put you back in the conversation, but you got to go and do it.
I mean, not
and right now they've lost six
schedule,
in a row.
Yeah, the schedule is just, it's unforgiving.
The
it's,
schedule kind of worked
not
against
a good
them this
schedule.
Year. Yeah, I think the longest homestand they have is in March, and I think it's like 4 games.
But, I mean, just, you know, strength of schedule-wise,
yeah,
they either have the toughest or the second toughest remaining schedule in the Western Conference. And because of the schedule, yeah. I just don't see what Sam is laying out, that maybe there is the potential of making a run at the 8 seed.